While I respect her as a performer and a businesswoman, the Taylor Swift Eras Tour concert film, not necessarily something I was super jazzed to see.
No.
But doesn't matter. She doesn't need my money because that movie made something like $100 million this weekend.
I pictured you in the back row singing along at the top of your lungs.
With all my friendship bracelets.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Yeah, no, and it's, and like, and I know people who went both to the concert, to one of the concerts and to the film. And, you know, I'm just, you know, you're just happy for people. Like,
yeah.
It's like, you know, like people like clearly adore her. And the opportunity to experience for the first time, because again, like the whole, you know, Ticketmaster debacle,
right. And not just, everybody can sell a kidney to go see her in concert,
right? And just, I mean, just the sheer cost, you know, it's just a wonderful opportunity for fans with perhaps lesser means to get a sense of what the show was like. And so, you know, kudos, good on everyone involved, you know, as with literally everything that woman touches, just solid gold. So, but I did see a couple of movies on the streamers this weekend. One on Hulu, one on Amazon Prime. On Hulu, it's a sort of a, I don't know, call it a sci-fi thriller, I guess, called The Mill, starring Lil Rel Howery. And on Amazon, I saw a movie called The Burial, starring Jamie Foxx and Tommy Lee Jones.
Wow.
Both actually really, really solid viewing experiences. So I'm happy to talk about whichever one you want to talk about.
I'm curious to hear about anything. So I remember the last thing I saw Tommy Lee Jones in. So let's hear about that.
Right, it's been a minute. It's a film called The Burial. It's based on a real life court case between a small business owner, an owner of a small chain of funeral homes in southern Mississippi. And a massive sort of funeral home conglomerate based in Canada, and with Jamie Foxx as the lawyer hired to put forward Tommy Lee Jones's case. So the basic premise, again, based on a true story, 1995, a lawyer, one of the flashy TV personal injury lawyers by the name of Willie Gary, is recruited essentially by this gentleman by the name of Jeremiah O'Keefe, Tommy Lee Jones, who had, due to some financial troubles, who had entered into a contract to sell three of his funeral homes to this conglomerate, the Lowen Group, they're called, and handshake agreement, whole shebang, you know, months pass and nothing comes of it. And so the idea comes, because again, he's got finite resources. We're going to sue for breach of contract. And that opens up this whole world of a lot of flashy lawyering and underhanded shenanigans, throughout, all the while this flashy African-American, you know, ambulance chaser, and this, you know, down home mid-70s like funeral home director really find some common ground and really sort of develop what seems to be a real friendship. And by all accounts, as far as the real story is concerned, they actually did become friends and remained so until Mr. O'Keefe's death not that long ago, actually. And that's kind of it. Like, it's you know, courtroom drama, like that sort of deal. But just a really phenomenal movie. Like, I really enjoyed myself. It's, you know, again, Jamie Foxx, incredibly talented. Tommy Lee Jones, still got it. You know, it's the ideal role for him. Like, not a lot of moving around for Mr. Jones in this one. But it was, you know, he still got that sort of understated gruffness. And, you know, for an older like funeral home director, like I can see how that would be the way you would want to go. But yeah, it's one of those stories where, and they make a point at the end of the film, there is a full on disclaimer. It's like, this is based on a true story. However, many things have been changed, and you know, it's one of those things where I get it. I understand why those things are included. You know, an adult, I am capable of understanding that what based on a true story means. You know, it's not a documentary.
We'd like to avoid lawsuits if we could.
I mean, that's kind of, I mean, and it feels like, it feels very CYA, and that's and that's fine. Like, I get it. You know, and there are people out there who, well, I mean, just like off the top of my head, an example, like the whole chaos surrounding like The Crown and people being like, well, it didn't happen that way. It's like, it's a TV show, yeah, folks. Yeah. It's a movie. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you want to know the truth, you know, watch the news. Well, certain flavors of the news, I guess. But yeah, no, The Burial, it's, I think the original source material for this, I think the article about the suit was in the New Yorker, I think in 1999. The film is set in 1995. But yeah, good performances, a pretty compelling story. You know, it's not like action packed or a blockbuster or anything like that, but, and we've talked about this, on many occasions. It's the sort of movie that you don't see in the movie theaters anymore.
Right.
Like that sort of mid-level like drama with, you know, so with a good cast, a decent story, but, you know, nothing explodes, you know, and, you know, nobody's wearing a costume unless you want to count Jamie Foxx's mid-90s era suits, which just chef's kiss, exquisite. but yeah, so The Burial, it's... You know, it was an engaging movie, and it's one that I'm glad I saw.
All right, tell us about The Mill.
Okay, so I didn't really know what this movie was about. I saw it. I didn't even seek it out. Like, it popped up on the recommendations when I was scrolling through Hulu, and I'm like, oh, well, that looks interesting. So I check it out. Rich, I had no idea. So here's the gist. And it's going to feel very uncomfortable for us as we live through the current times in which we live. But our man Lil Rel Howery plays a guy named Joe. He is an upper middle manager for this massive conglomerate known as the Mallard Corporation. Like, that's his job. He's been working there for many years. But this is all stuff we find out sort of as we go, because the movie starts. Our guy wakes up in what appears to be some sort of like open air prison cell in what we are soon to discover is an abandoned grist mill. And
that sounds a little creepy already.
Yeah, he doesn't know why he's there. He doesn't remember getting there. He's not sure what's happening until the AI. Is sort of the fundamental underpinning of the aforementioned Mallard Corporation, speaks up and tells him that he has been chosen for advanced management training.
Okay.
And what it turns out that advanced management training is he is tasked with spending a workday every day, starts at 6 a.m., ends at 10 p.m., and what he is to do is push this grist wheel around in circles. Every rotation is a point, and he has a quota that he is to meet.
Wow.
Every day. And here's the thing. He doesn't know why. He doesn't feel like he's supposed to be here. He is not the only person in this facility, though we never see anyone else. And, we'll just say that the rules are flexible with this whole thing, and despite the fact that he tries to play the game, it turns out, as is often the case, the game might be rigged in favor of the house.
No.
And so it's just the thing that was remarkable about it. You know, it's got its flaws. Like, there's some pretty significant holes in the plot where it's like, if you want to pull at those threads, like, it'll unravel. You know, taken on its face, the biggest surprise for me, there's actually a killer reveal at the end, but we're not going to talk about that. But the big surprise for me was that Lil Rel Howery, who is a perfectly fine supporting actor, like, I've seen him in a bunch of stuff, like, I generally enjoy him, would not have pegged him as someone who could essentially carry a film by himself. Because, I mean, for huge, huge chunks of the runtime, it's just him on screen, and a lot of it is like silent. Like, he's not talking a lot, and like, that's kind of his whole shtick, is that sort of like fast talking, like quick witted kind of. And so to remove that weapon from his arsenal and just sort of lay him bare like that, it's like, how is this going to work? And it turns out pretty well. Like, I wasn't necessarily anticipating him being able to shoulder that load, but like, he really does a pretty solid job. You know, and you know, there are some flashback scenes and a couple of we get to hear some sort of voices, like from other like denizens of this mysterious place. But yeah, it's just this bleak sort of near future sort of thing where it's like, there's basically a joke where it's like, all those terms and conditions and NDAs you sign, you ever read those? and it's just one of those reminders where it's like, you know, there are some very vast entities out there, with very little concern, for the individual, regardless of whether or not that individual is part of their corporation. You know, it's just a little hint at, what if instead of us thinking they can do whatever they want, what if they actually did do whatever they wanted?
Now, it sounds a little bleak. Do we find that there's a way out, even if he doesn't make it?
There are a couple of false exits. At a couple of points where it's like, you think, he's got it figured out. And then it turns out, not figured out. And the ending, I'm going to say the ending is ambivalent.
Okay.
It's ambiguous.
I'm fine
like
with
it's,
that.
It's not like it is. It does not end in the same place that it begins. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
But well worth the watch. It's a pretty quick one. All told, probably all in, you're probably watching for about an hour 40.
Oh, all right.
And it cooks along, and you would. And I know the way I've described it, it's like, oh my God, he's just like in this place, like not talking, like pushing this wheel. It's shocking how compelling it is. It's not a great movie. Like, it's not going to enter the sci-fi canon. But as far as a film that not only engages in the moment, but, you know, speaks to sort of larger societal issues. You could do a lot worse. Like, nice. worth watching.
And it's on Hulu, you said.
Yes, that's a Hulu.
Cool. Well, speaking of your big movies, we're getting to that time of the year. Although I don't know, with the strike, are they continuing to delay some of the big releases? I know Killers of the Flower Moon, is that coming out this weekend?
That's this weekend. Like, that's the big one, and it'll be interesting to see, because I feel like the response to this film may kind of dictate choices that are made with some of the other sort of more prestige fare that's coming.
Right.
I know a lot of stuff is like still like making the festival circuit and all that. And the truth is, like, everything's going to get like a week in December regardless, because you gotta get the awards eligibility in under the wire. As to wider releases, like, fingers crossed. But the truth is, it's like, it seems like it's going to be I don't want to say it's going to be a dull year for movies, but it kind of feels that way a little bit.
When's the Bradley Cooper, The Maestro? Is that scheduled for like December release?
Yeah, it's one of those ones where, and I think it's a Netflix joint, but I'm not sure. But it's one of those ones where it's going to have a theatrical release and then a fairly quick turnaround to streaming. I don't think we're going to see that till December.
And what's the film that got big buzz? I think at Cannes for with Emma Stone.
Oh, it's her new one, I can't remember the name of it, but it's her new sort of she's working with Yorgos Lanthimos again.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I could remember what the name of it was, but yeah, I've seen a couple of trailers. Looks pretty good. And it's like, we've already seen stuff with like The Favorite, which was so good. I'm very much looking forward to seeing that sort of team up happen again. And then the truth is, a lot of the sort of tentpole blockbusters have already been sort of moved off their release dates.
Right.
Like, a lot of stuff's not going to come out until next, I don't know, spring, probably. there are going to be some stretches, I think, where the box office is going to look, kind of bleak.
Well, when you come in, if that happens, we can just talk about how to rebuild our respective rotisserie baseball teams.
Yes, it is. We are in rebuilding time. I will say, just to sort of talk about it for a second. First of all, focus group show.
I was going
to
mention Friday. That. Yes.
This Friday at the Bangor Arts Exchange, 8 p.m. Come by, see us be funny. We'll do some spooky stuff probably because 'tis the season. But one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, and you sort of alluded to it when I was on my way over here talking about it. If you are a fan of live theater, this is your weekend.
Yeah, this is a big one, isn't it, coming up?
It's shocking because you've got, Penobscot Theater is opening Dirty Deeds Down East. The University of Maine School of Performing Arts, their production of Rabbit Hole opens on Thursday. $10 Theater's production of Sonia Vanya Masha Spike, the Christopher Durang play, that opens this weekend. And some theater companies opening their production of the stage version of The Exorcist. That's all happening this weekend.
Wow.
So it's like, man, if you have any sort of Jones for live theater, you are not wanting for options. And it's one of those weekends where in my previous life, I would be desperately trying to figure out how I was going to see all of these things.
Right.
I'm blessed now in that I could still see them all, but I don't have to see them all opening weekend.
Right.
So the hope is to see it all because it's just a wonderful wide array of very different sorts of shows. As our good friend Dennis Price always says, get out there and see something.
There you go. Thank you, Al.
My pleasure.
Have a good week.
You too.
See you next Monday. Alan Adams talking movies here on Pass the Popcorn.